This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
The death of Jesus Christ upon a Roman cross marks a central point in the history of mankind. When Jesus cried and said, "It is finished," that marked the completion of a long series of events that had taken place according to the divine guidance of God. The death of Jesus Christ on that cross was not an accident, but it was according to a carefully executed purpose and plan of God. Today we want to continue to talk about the death of Jesus on that cross. Jesus Christ died on that cross that you and I might not be lost forever. So today we're going to be talking about the theme that Jesus Christ was with His stripes, that you and I can be healed. Please stay tuned today. Now, on Getting to Know Your Bible, we offer a free Bible correspondence course. And this course is absolutely free. I want you to avail yourself of the opportunity of ordering this course. It won't take you but just a moment. Pick up the telephone. We'll need your name and your address. That's all we'll need. And so if you'll do that, we'll send the course to you. We have hundreds and hundreds, actually up into thousands of people over the years that have taken this course. And so we want you to have it. And in order that you might know more about the course and how you can receive the course, we're going to pause for just a moment.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
Hi there, I'm Ray Reynolds, the Marketing Director for Getting to Know Your Bible. I want to encourage you to check out Pray.com, a resource where you can read daily Bible readings or get daily prayer ideas. And there you can also now find Getting to Know Your Bible. You can search for Getting to Know Your Bible or for Billy Lambert and find resources available to you through podcasts and previous programs that we'd love for you to check out. We want to encourage you in your daily walk for God. We pray that God will bless you and use this resource to do so. Thanks for tuning in to Getting to Know Your Bible.
I want to read now from Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, and verses 4 and 5. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. The prophet, with the pen of inspiration, painted a graphic picture of the suffering Savior. He was wounded, bruised, rejected, crucified. And all of this was to satisfy the wrath of a holy God. In the 5th chapter of Romans, in verse 8, in verse 9, Paul said, God hath commended his love toward us, and that while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now listen to verse 9. Being much more then justified by his blood, we're saved from wrath through him. God's wrath is revealed against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men. Romans 1:18. But it takes the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to satisfy the wrath of a holy God. And the sacrifice must be a perfect sacrifice that would atone for sin. 1 Peter 1:18 says, For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, received from the vain conversation of the tradition of your fathers, but verse 19, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So it took a perfect sacrifice, one without blemish, one without spot, to atone for sin. What does that suffering really mean to you? What should it mean to me? What did it mean to the apostles? Well, I can tell you what it meant to Paul. In Galatians 6:14, he said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ. Paul gloried in the cross. I think about what Peter said about it and what it really meant to the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Jesus died for our sins upon the cross of Calvary. That's what Peter thought about it. But Isaiah said this in verse 5 of Isaiah chapter 53, that with his stripes we're healed. Now, does this mean, as some allege, that physical suffering comes through the suffering of Christ? I've actually heard men say that because Jesus shed his blood, we can be healed, and they think that means that there's some miracle that's going to happen because Jesus died and you're going to be healed of your some kind of a physical illness. It is true that Jesus healed people while he was on the cross. When on the day of Pentecost, when Peter was preaching about Jesus, in the 2nd chapter of Acts chapter 2, he said, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. So he knew that these people knew that Jesus had performed miracles. Nicodemus did. He said, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. So it is true that Jesus healed people while he was on the earth. He performed mighty wonders and signs and deeds. And they were for the purpose of people believing. In John the 20th chapter, verses 30 and 31, John said, Many other signs truly did Jesus and in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But why are these written? That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name. You see, Jesus performed miracles, not just for the miracle's sake, but Jesus performed miracles that people might believe. Miracles happen throughout all of the Bible. There's a time the sun stood still. The Red Sea dried up. The Shunammite son was raised, and Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, was raised from the dead by the power of God. Now, friends, there's a huge distinction between healing that occurs in the realm of God's providence and miraculous divine healing. All healing is divine, but not all healing is miraculous divine healing. If all healing was miraculous, Now, let me give a definition of miraculous here. Let's define what we're talking about. When a miracle occurs, that means that God sets aside His natural laws and He does something that is above those laws. For example, the first person that was born or created was created miraculously. God formed man out of the dust of the ground. The woman was formed out of the side of a man. But babies that are born today are born because of the law of procreation. There's a seed of the husband and the seed of the wife, and the seed produces a child. The seed of the individual produces a baby. And you say, well, that's God working. I believe that. But it's not a miracle, because if a miracle occurred, that person would be born without the seed of the husband or the wife being involved. So if all healing was miraculous, then men could duplicate what Jesus did, such as causing the blind to see, causing the lame to walk, causing the deaf to hear, causing the dead to rise. Or in the case of the disciples in Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 17 and 20, they could ingest deadly poison and it would not kill them. I don't hear of anyone who claims to have the power of performing miracles today, claiming that they can drink deadly poison and they're going to live. The age of the miraculous passed with the giving of a full, complete revelation of inspired truth. I call your attention to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Back in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, Paul enumerated spiritual gifts. And some of those gifts resulted in miracles being performed. They were given to the apostles on the day of Pentecost when they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. The apostles could lay hands on others, and then those gifts would be passed on to those upon whom the apostles had laid their hands. An example of that is in Acts, the 8th chapter. But in 1 Corinthians 13, we learn this beginning in verse number 8. Charity suffers long, or rather, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. You see, there were those who had the gift of prophecy. There were those that had the gift of tongues. That is, they could speak languages they had never studied. There are five places in the New Testament where tongue speaking is mentioned. And in all five places where it is mentioned, there were those who were given the power to speak a language that never studied. It wasn't some gibberish. It wasn't some ecstatic utterance. But it was a language, an understandable language. And incidentally, in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul said that if someone comes in and nobody is able to interpret the tongue that they're speaking, then he should not speak in that tongue. And yet we have those who claim to speak in tongues that they never do interpret. And so it is the case that miracles pass with the giving of inspired revelation. And we have now all truth revealed to the world. In John 16 and 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He shall guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He heareth, that shall He speak. While they didn't have the Bible in the days of the apostles, they were in the process of revealing the Bible. And now we have it in written form. And in order that people might believe that which had been revealed to them was true, they were able to form various signs and miracles. But now they have ceased. So the age of miracles passed with the giving of a full, complete revelation of inspired truth. Now, what does the word healed mean in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5? It does not refer to physical healing. Let me tell you, why not? The context will not allow such an interpretation. In Isaiah chapter 53, he's talking about sin. Down in verse 6, for example, all we like sheep have gone astray, turn every man to his own way. That's sin. He's talking about being healed from sin. Peter did not use the word healed in that way in a physical sense. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, Jesus used the word healed in Matthew 13 and verse 15. And then he used, there's a parallel passage to that in Mark chapter 4 and verse 11. And there Jesus, rather than saying heal, he uses the word forgiveness. Jesus said, this people's heart is waxed gross, the ears are dull of hearing, the eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with the eyes, hear with the ears, should understand with the heart, be converted, and I should heal them. Mark says, forgive them. So there's spiritual healing because of the death of Jesus, not physical healing. Now in Ephesians 1 and 7, we learn in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, He made Him, that's Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus died in my place. Jesus died for my sins. Jesus died to take away my sins. At the shedding of blood, we're told in Hebrews 9:22, there is no forgiveness. And my friends, our world needs healing, doesn't it? Our world needs spiritual healing. Now, some have needed physical healing. Naaman with a leper needed healing. Those that were snake-bitten in the book of Numbers needed healing. The blind man in John chapter 9 needed healing. The world needs healing from sin. And our world is eaten up with the rot and with the stench of sin. In Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah is talking about the sin of God's people in that day. Notice beginning in verse number 4, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They've gone away backward." And then he says in verse 5, "Why would you be stricken anymore? Why do you want to continue to live like this? Yet you revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even under the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores that have not been closed, neither bound up nor mollified with ointment." The world needs healing. 1 John 5:17 says the world lies in wickedness. 1 John 5:14, the whole world lies in wickedness and sin. Sin is the worst thing that ever happened. Sin is worse than the devil, because it was sin that made the devil the devil. And sin is worse than any physical disease that a person would ever have. Sin is worse than cancer. It's worse than AIDS. It's worse than any physical disease that anyone would ever have. And here's the reason it's worse. It destroys everything that is in its path. Solomon said in Proverbs 13:15, "The way of the transgressor is hard." Our world needs healing today. It needs spiritual healing. And Jesus is the only one who can heal you of sin. By His stripes, we are healed. We're healed by His stripes. You would think that all people would want to be healed from their sin. You would think that every individual on the face of this earth would say, I can see now that Jesus died to save me, and I can live a better life with Jesus in my life. I can be happier. I can have a life of fulfillment. As a matter of fact, we're told in John chapter 10 and verse 10 that Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And yet there are a lot of miserable people in this world. Why is it that an individual would want to continue to be miserable? And by their being miserable, they make other people that are around them miserable. Why do we want to do that? There's so many unhappy people in the world. When you can live a happy life, a life of joy and peace and forgiveness. Likely some of you watching right now have something in your life that causes you to have feelings of guilt. What is it that keeps us from coming to Jesus? You see, Jesus is the great physician. He's the physician of the soul. By His stripes, by His death on that cross, you and I can be healed of our sins. So what keeps men from being healed? Well, let me give you something to think about. Some may not even think they're sick. I know the Bible says that all have sinned, and I'm a sinner, all people are sinners. We've all done things that are contrary to the will of God. And all of us need to be saved from our sins. But some just don't think they're sick. I've seen people like that. Maybe it's an acquaintance that I've had for many years, and I've seen them in their prime of life, and now they're older, and I can tell they don't feel good. I can tell by their actions that there's something going on. But you ask them, how you know? I'm doing fine. I'm fine. I've seen people on their bed, and they couldn't even get out of bed. And their wife would say, well, I need to take you to the doctor. I don't need to go to the doctor. They just don't think they're sick. I think that's the reason a lot of people don't come to Christ, is they don't realize they're sinners. But we're all are sinners. All of sin comes short of the glory. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Romans 3, verse 10. We all have sinned, all gone astray. But I think another thing that keeps people from coming to the person where they can heal them of their diseases, that is the disease of sin, is they just don't think it's all that serious. They don't think it's all that serious. I've seen people like that. Maybe they're sick, and they know they're sick, but I know one right now who is sick, and yet he doesn't think it's all that serious. He doesn't want to do what the doctor says. He doesn't want to do what his wife recommends that he do. He just wants to go right on the way he wants to do it, because I just don't think he thinks it's all that serious. I think there are people that don't think sin is all that serious. Well, let me tell you how serious sin is. Sin is so serious that it caused the Son of God His life on the cross of Calvary. All the problems in our world are rooted in sin. And you don't hear much talk about it anymore. Many years ago, there was a man who wrote a book entitled, Whatever Became of Sin. You would think that we have gotten rid of sin because you don't hear much about it anymore. I think another reason that people don't come to Jesus, the great physician, is because they just don't want to take the cure. I've known the people go to their doctor gives prescription, and they refuse to take the prescription. Well, what did you go to the doctor for? Some know that Jesus died to save them. They know what Jesus wants them to do to be saved, but they just absolutely refuse to do it. Maybe some you're watching right now like that. You've been watching Getting to Know Your Bible, some of you, for years, and you know what you need to do, but you've just not done it. Some of you are unfaithful members of the Church of Christ. You know what you need to do. You've just never done it. Some refuse the cure. And then some wait till it's too late to go to the doctor. That's the saddest thing in all of the world. To be called to a hospital, to a bed beside of someone who's dying, and the family asked you to come out into the hall, and the doctor said if we just come sooner, they could have done something about it. They could have helped this person, but they waited too late. And people can wait too late to come to Jesus. I just urge you not to wait too late. Do something about it immediately. Some of you are not Christians. To be a Christian, you have to be a penitent, confessing believer in Jesus Christ. And you're baptized not because you're saved by believing, but in order that you might be saved. Many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. And when they did that, they had obeyed the gospel, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. That's how you obey the gospel. You hear the gospel, believe the gospel, you're baptized. Many in Acts chapter 8 and 12, the Samaritans heard Philip preaching things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, and they were baptized. Why did they do that? It's because Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And according to the Great Commission in Matthew's gospel, we're to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38, or to be saved, 1 Peter 3:21, Mark 16:16. Have you ever had your sins washed away in the blood of Jesus? Jesus is the doctor. Jesus is the one who can heal you. And He shed His blood that we might have forgiveness in that blood. Unto Him who loved us, washed us from our sins in His own blood, Revelation 1:5. Why tarriest thou? What are you waiting on? Rise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If you would like to be baptized, call us. We'll find some servant of God to assist you. I want to thank you for watching Getting to Know Your Bible today. And I want to urge you to pick up the telephone call for the Bible course. Visit the Church of Christ in your community. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
Hi there, I'm Ray Reynolds, the Marketing Director for Getting to Know Your Bible. I want to encourage you to check out Pray.com, a resource where you can read daily Bible readings or get daily prayer ideas. And there you can also now find Getting to Know Your Bible. You can search for Getting to Know Your Bible or for Billy Lambert and find resources available to you through podcasts and previous programs that we'd love for you to check out. We want to encourage you in your daily walk for God. We pray that God will bless you and use this resource to do so. Thanks for tuning in to Getting to Know Your Bible.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.